Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to bring you the insights you need fast. Today, we're diving into something, well, universal, something we all grapple with, change. It's often necessary, vital even for growth, but it can feel like trying to steer a supertanker in a teacup, can't it? Especially in places steeped in tradition, like pubs. Think for a moment. When was a time you felt that, you know, visceral pull of resistance against a new idea, even when, deep down, you kind of knew it made sense? So, our mission today is to take a deep dive into the barriers to change in hospitality and how to beat them. We're going to unpack why even the most logical changes, say, in your favorite local, often meet, well, a surprising amount of pushback. And we'll illuminate the hidden psychological reasons behind that resistance and, crucially, equip you with practical frameworks. Tools, really, to turn skepticism into, hopefully, enthusiastic buy-in. It's not just about surviving change, it's about mastering it.
Exactly. And we're drawing these insights mainly from a really illuminating article focusing on strategies for the hospitality sector, pubs specifically. But what makes this so compelling is how these principles, they just resonate far beyond that, you know? Mm-hmm. Whether you're managing a team, launching a product, or just navigating shifts in your personal life, understanding these dynamics isn't just like problem solving. It's about cultivating an adaptable environment where everyone feels invested in the journey forward.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. The article immediately hits us with a fundamental truth. Businesses like pubs build on consistent service. They thrive on routine. Staff know their roles inside out. Regulars have their spots. Suppliers operate like clockwork. There's a comfort in that rhythm.
Yeah.
A stability. So when you disrupt it, you're almost guaranteed to meet pushback. It's just a natural human response to the unknown.
That's precisely it. And it's so crucial to understand that this resistance, it isn't typically born from laziness or, you know, just wanting to be difficult. More often, it's deeply rooted in fear, genuine uncertainty, or just plain poor communication. Really basic stuff sometimes. And how you handle these initial barriers is absolutely critical. Address them thoughtfully. You pave the way for buy-in, smoother rollouts, maybe even enthusiastic support. But ignore them. And as our source vividly puts it, you're looking at Roto Wars.
Roto Wars. Sounds intense.
Oh, it is. Intense disputes over schedules, staff turnover, and yeah, grumpy regulars. Nobody wants that.
Definitely not. So let's get into the specifics.
Yeah.
What are these common barriers? The article identifies five key ones, and they're incredibly relatable, I think, because they tap into very human stuff. First up, fear of incompetence. This isn't just about not knowing how to do something new. It's deeper. It's that anxiety of looking foolish, right? Of failing to adapt or losing face, especially in front of customers or your colleagues. Imagine a long-serving bar manager suddenly facing a completely new, complex ordering system.
Yeah.
That perceived loss of status, that can be a huge silent driver of resistance.
Absolutely. Then there's the second one, loss of control. This happens when changes feel imposed, you know, from above. Without consultation or even a proper explanation, people naturally feel disempowered. If a new rota system is introduced, maybe without any team input.
Yeah, people hate that.
Exactly. Staff might feel like, I never get a say anymore, and that just chips away at their autonomy, breeds resentment.
Okay, number three is ripple effects. This is where one seemingly small change can unexpectedly send shockwaves, right? Through other parts of the operation.
Yeah, the knock-on effects.
Right. A new menu in the kitchen, for instance, seems contained. Maybe different plating, new ingredients.
But suddenly, the bar staff are dealing with altered food ticket flows, new allergy info, different table numbers. One small change creates big, messy chaos for someone else.
Then, bad timing. This one feels so obvious, but it's amazing how often it gets missed.
You think?
Announcing a significant change, like a new cleaning protocol mid-shift on a slammed Friday night. It's almost designed to fail.
Total recipe for disaster.
Guarantees grumbling, frustration, and absolutely zero genuine buy-in. You're setting yourself up for resistance before you even start.
And finally, a huge one, poor communication. The danger of surprises here is just immense. If staff hear about big changes secondhand, or worse, if loyal customers discover a new layout or menu update only when they walk in.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, you quickly lose credibility, trust erodes, and that's incredibly difficult to win back.
It's fascinating how these aren't usually isolated issues, is it?
No, not at all. What's really insightful here is how they often compound. They build on each other, creating this, like, formidable wall of resistance. One change can trigger fear of incompetence, then feel imposed, causing loss of control, and then maybe it's badly communicated at a terrible moment.
A perfect storm.
Exactly, a perfect storm. That's why the article really emphasizes proactively identifying these potential roadblocks. Anticipation and thoughtful planning are absolutely key. Don't just react when it's already gone wrong.
Right. So it's not just the what of the change, but the why behind our resistance. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think. The article digs into the deeper psychological roots that make these barriers so strong. Let's really get into those, because understanding them, that's key to crafting solutions that actually work.
Absolutely. The article highlights three core psychological underpinnings. First, there's loss aversion. This is a fundamental human bias, really. People are far more motivated to avoid a small loss than they are to achieve an equivalent gain, or even a larger one sometimes. Well, think about it. A new system might promise to save 20 minutes a day eventually. But the frustration of just one new unfamiliar step right now can feel much stronger. That initial pain or inconvenience outweighs the future benefit. So you get immediate pushback. It's not always logical, but it's powerful. The pain of losing an old routine, even an inefficient one, feels more acute.
Okay, loss aversion. What's next?
Second, we have social proof, but in reverse. This is fascinating. It's when one vocal resistor, someone who's really unhappy or uncooperative.
The squeaky wheel.
Kind of, yeah. Their negativity can actually influence the whole team. It spreads. It makes it socially acceptable for others to resist or complain, even if they were initially okay with it or maybe just indifferent. It basically normalizes the resistance.
Right. I can see that happening easily. And the third.
And finally, there's change fatigue. This is that overwhelming feeling staff get when too many changes hit them at once or in really rapid succession.
Too much, too fast.
Exactly. They become mentally and emotionally exhausted. It leads to burnout and, frankly, a complete shutdown to anything new. It's like asking someone to run a marathon right after they finished a triathlon. Their capacity is just gone.
Okay, so loss aversion, negative social proof, change fatigue.
Mm.
That paints a pretty challenging picture.
It can be, but here's the good news. Recognizing these triggers immediately lets us plan our responses strategically. It's not insurmountable. For instance, to counter loss aversion, you highlight early visible wins. Show tangible benefits now. Don't just talk about the future. To flip social proof, you actively get early adopters, influential team members on board first. Make them the
turn the social proof positive.
Precisely. And to prevent change fatigue, well, that's simpler in theory. Stagger the changes. Give people time to adapt, to integrate one new routine before the next one hits. It's all about working with human psychology, not trying to fight against it.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've identified the problems, the psychological roots. That's a powerful foundation. But what does this all mean for you listening right now in terms of practical action? How do you actually put this into practice on Monday morning? Luckily, our source provides some proven frameworks. Roadmaps, really, for overcoming resistance and making these transitions smoother.
Indeed. One excellent framework mentioned is Cotter's Quick Wins. This comes from John Cotter's change model. The idea here is simple but effective. Generate visible short-term successes early on. Keep morale high. Show progress.
Okay, give me an example.
Right. So if you introduce, say, a new seller stock system, don't just wait for the quarterly report. Immediately show staff how wastage is dropping week by week. Put up a chart. And then crucially, celebrate each milestone, even small ones.
So that immediate positive feedback counters the loss aversion.
Exactly. It builds momentum and proves the change is actually beneficial right now.
Got it. Quick wins. What else?
Then there's ADKAR reinforcement. The ADKAR model itself stands for awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement. It's a great tool for individual change. This final step, reinforcement, is all about making the new behavior stick, ensuring the change isn't just adopted for a week, but sustained.
How do you do that?
Well, it means actively rewarding early adopters and good examples, maybe publicly, maybe privately. So you might say, Sarah, thanks for embracing the Rota app. Your quick swaps kept the shift covered last week, really helped the team. That specific recognition builds momentum. It shows others that adapting is valued. It's noticed.
Okay, ADKAR reinforcement. And there was a third one.
Yes, Lewin's unfreeze change refreeze model, classic model. Kurt Lewin theorized you must first unfreeze the existing way of doing things.
Melt the ice.
Right. Then change to the new state and finally refreeze the new normal so it becomes routine. The article really emphasizes spending more time in that crucial unfreeze stage. This is all about the why. Explain why the change is needed before you jump into the what and how.
So instead of just announcing a new menu.
Exactly. You would say something like, look, we're changing menus because our roast sales are down 300 pounds a week. If we do nothing, ours might get cut. You create the urgency, the desire for change. By showing the problem the change solves, you prepare people mentally, you melt the ice before you try to reshape it.
And what's so valuable about these frameworks, Cotter, Adiker, Lewin, is that they aren't just, you know, academic theories.
No, they're battle-tested.
Right. They're strategies that actually work in the real world.
Yeah.
This comes back to being intentional, empathetic, really focusing on that human element.
Mm-hmm. To really drive this home, let's look at how these barriers play out and how the solutions work or don't in specific scenarios. The source gives some great examples.
Yeah, let's get concrete.
Okay. Scenario one, a new ROTA system, the barrier. Staff resisting app-based ROTA swaps, probably fear of incompetence, maybe loss of control too. The solution used an 80 care a day-based approach. The landlord built awareness around why change was needed, fairer shifts, maybe. Fostered desire by showing personal benefits. Provided knowledge and ability through proper training on the app.
And the reinforcement.
And then actively reinforced it. Rewarded those who adopted it early. The result. A huge 70% reduction in ROTA disputes. That's a clear win from structured implementation.
Wow, 70%. Okay, what's another one?
Scenario two, refurb backlash. Picture this. A pub needs to close for a refurb. Upsets the regulars, right? They hate the routine being disrupted. Classic loss aversion.
Yeah, regulars can be very protective of their spot.
Totally. The solution involved proactive, early, and broad communication. Posters, Facebook updates, a reopening countdown, and a key move for one pub, the Ship Inn, was even trialing some menu tweaks with regulars before the official reopening, involving them.
Ah, making them part of it.
Exactly. They respected their customers' sense of belonging, and the result, they boosted covers by 40% post-refurb.
Nice. Okay, one more scenario.
Sure. Scenario three, supplier change confusion. Staff were struggling with new processes from a new beer supplier. Classic fear of incompetence, maybe some ripple effects too. The solution was targeted support, a dedicated training session, plus a simple one-page cheat sheet kept behind the bar. Quick reference.
Practical.
Very practical. And then reinforced by praising staff for their first successful smooth deliveries, provided the tools, the support, the recognition, built confidence, made it stick.
These successes really highlight the power of, well, a thoughtful, human-centered approach. But it's also useful to look at the other side, right, when things go wrong.
Absolutely. Contrasting cases are very telling.
Our source mentioned a fail, the Queen's Arms. They introduced a new till system with basically zero training.
Ouch. Ignoring fear of incompetence and just bad communication.
Result. Predictable. Staff errors, long queues, unhappy customers, morale just plummeted. Staff blamed the system naturally because they weren't set up to succeed.
It's such a common mistake. But then you contrast that with the Red Lion, a success story. They faced high cellar waste, but the landlord didn't just impose a solution. They really embraced Lewin's unfreeze stage.
Explaining the why.
Yes. Explain the issue. Consulted the staff for input, trialed a new stock control process with the team, and then, crucially, celebrated every single reduction in waste. Every small win.
And the result?
Wastage dropped 25% in just 2 months. A huge win, born from transparency, teamwork, shared ownership.
That's impressive. And there was one more success.
Yeah, the black horse. They tackled ongoing ROTA disputes using that 80-car-based approach we talked about, ensured awareness, built desire for fairer shifts, provided knowledge and ability with a new app, consistently reinforced positive use.
Yeah.
The outcome was staff genuinely appreciated the fairness and transparency, reduced turnover, better morale overall. It worked.
So when you look at the Red Lion, the black horse,
yeah,
what's the common thread in these successes?
It really begs the question, doesn't it? I think it boils down to empathy and thoughtful planning. It's not just what you change, it's how you implement it, how effectively you bring people along on that journey. The human element, every single time, is the deciding factor.
That's such a crucial insight. So with all this great knowledge, we want to equip you, the listener, with some practical tools, things you can use right away. Our source put together a fantastic toolkit for landlords, but honestly, it's invaluable for anyone managing change.
Yeah, it's really practical. First up, there's a resistance symptom checker. It's just a series of simple questions to help you spot if resistance is building before it blows up. Ask yourself, are staff grumbling more? Are customers asking questions you should have already answered? Are regulars maybe avoiding the place a bit? Are errors creeping up on shift?
If you answer yes.
Yeah, if it's yes to any of those, it's a clear sign resistance is building. Time to intervene proactively.
Okay, a symptom checker. What else is in the toolkit?
Then there's a first 10 conversations script pack. Now, this isn't about being robotic. It's about giving you key phrases, prompts, really. to guide those crucial early discussions in a way that tackles those psychological barriers head on.
Like what kind of phrases?
Things like, here's why we're making this change that hits Lewin's unfreeze. Or, I'd like your input on how we do this that tackles loss of control. And crucially, what worries you about this? Inviting those fears out. Then later, phrases like, look at the early results for quick wins, and thanks for jumping in and trying this to reinforce those early adopters. It's a blueprint for proactive, empathetic chat.
That sounds really useful, guiding the conversation. And the last tool.
And finally, because celebration is so key for reinforcement, the toolkit has quick win celebration ideas, practical ways to acknowledge milestones, big or small. Combat that loss aversion could be super simple. A free pint for staff hitting a target, shout-outs on a chalkboard, an end-of-week meal for top contributors, or even creating a wall of wins behind the bar, visually tracking successes. These small, consistent acts of recognition, huge impact on morale and sustained buy-in.
That toolkit sounds incredibly practical, really bridges that gap between understanding the theory and, you know, actually doing it, gives you concrete steps.
Yeah.
So let's bring it all together then. What's the core message here? Barriers to change. They're normal, right? As expected.
Totally normal.
Whether you're revamping a pub, rolling out new software, just trying to get your team to use Slack properly. These barriers pop up, but they don't have to be roadblocks.
Precisely. The path forward is clear, really. With empathy, using the right frameworks like AD Care or focusing on quick wins, and just open, consistent communication, you absolutely can manage that fear, the loss of control, the ripple effects. The secret, if there is one, lies in consulting early, training properly, and genuinely celebrating those wins, big or small, when you do that. Staff feel empowered, not dictated to. Customers stay loyal because they feel heard. And your operations, whatever they are, just run smoother. It transforms a potential crisis into an opportunity for growth, stronger connections.
Fantastic summary. Now, for your final provocative thought, reflect on a recent change you've experienced, or maybe one you tried to implement at work or even home. How might applying just one of these psychological insights, maybe really thinking about loss aversion or consciously planning some quick wins, how might that shift the outcome next time? What aspect of change management will you choose to unfreeze first in your own environment? That's all for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.